share with you is that when the whole debate, language debate, began in the 1970s and Bill 101 was finally adopted, many blacks left Quebec. Mm. And who were they? Our best educated.
Mm.
And so you didn't have that second generation to take over from the Don Reeds and the Horace Goddards.
Mm-hmm.
And so that created a whole vacuum. Happily, over the last couple of years, we are seeing more blacks going into education to become teachers.
Mm.
That's fantastic. And now we need to hire them. And then we need to provide them training so that they can become administrators, vice principals, principals, regional directors, and ultimately director general.
I also want to ask, do you think that work by some of the students and those in the know need to be done where we go back into the board and the new slates of people who are there to know what a rich black history the PSBGM and then finally EMSB had because they don't know?
Yeah, but I think that that's where the Quebec Board of Black Educators will play a significant role.
Okay.
QBB has had an agreement with what used to be the Protestant School Board of Montreal and then transferred over to the English Montreal School Board. But it's existed for 20, 30 years, but has never been renewed and expanded. It's just been the same agreement.
Okay.
And so they're now negotiating and discussing, and it looks really, really good.
Okay, so it bodes well for education and parents. What are their roles?
Parents have a role in ensuring that the education their children receive is quality and that it reflects them. So that when, you know, a little black girl or a little black boy or a little Italian origin or Greek origin or Jewish kid goes into school in the English Montreal School Board, that the history that they learn reflects not just them and their community's contributions, but other communities so that they understand its Canadian history.
Can we also say, hey, how come I'm not seeing enough black teachers in this school?
Yes.
Okay. Parents, we're charging you.
Definitely.
We're charging you with that. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to play one more song. And when we return, we are going to
talk about Bill 96?
Yes, most definitely. And English, that's Marlene's phone. Oh, okay. Yeah? What are you announcing?
I don't know if anybody knows, but I'm working. I want people to check out. So I'm announcing my new album.
Oh, okay.
But I want to let people know that the album I'm working on is not a colorful one.
I don't know. You tell me.
How can I
Why don't we do the commercials and then you tell me what it is that you want to talk about these early days of the album?
The early days?
Mm-hmm.
Let me go to commercial.
Yes, nice. All right, we'll take a commercial break. And I believe this next song is another choice. Why this song, Rise, I Rise?
Andra Day's song, Rise Up, I believe is the story of our people. Because no matter the hardships, no matter the racism, no matter the ostracism, no matter the hate that has been directed to us systemically, we rise up.
Huh. All righty, here we go.
Any type of relationship. It's actually really just about, you know, I look at everyone.
Rise up.
We are all brothers and sisters, and we are all, you know, sort of a body working together, you know. So rise up is really about saying one piece isn't better than the other, you know, and when this part is struggling, I'm going to help you. I'm going to lift you up. I'll be that. If you're going through pain, I'll go through the pain with you. You know, if you're celebrating, I'll celebrate with you. You know, so it's just sort of saying, I will rise up for you.
Broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. You can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we go walk it out. Move mountains, we go walk it out. And I'll rise like the day. I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. And I'll rise. Silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe. And I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Ooh, mountains, bring it to its feet. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise unafraid. I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again. That we have each other. Thank you.
take 2 eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share.
Faced with sickle cell anemia, the solution is in our blood. It's a matter of genetics. The more people from the Black communities who give blood, the better our chances to find compatible donors to help those affected by this disease. Faced with sickle cell anemia, we can't leave anyone behind. We have to donate. So don't wait. Book an appointment today at hemequebec.qc.ca because giving is in our blood.
It's time to make an appointment for your booster dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Tune in to CKUT 90.3 FM, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., for a special Black History Month edition of the Montreal Sessions. The month kicks off on February 1st with the best in reggae and soca with your hosts, Production Sounds and Soca Head. Week 2, February 8th, Wizzy Moonchaser, host of The Morning Detour, broadcast live from DG Kicks, a sneaker store in NDG. The final 2 weeks, 15th and 22nd, are hosted by Stephen Ziplocks Hennessy, educator, creator,
and part of the Ill Groove Garden team. Don't miss it.
In the case of symptoms similar to those of COVID-19, such as fever, cough, sore throat, loss of taste, or smell, you should take a rapid home screening test. If you test positive, isolate yourself at home and please follow the self-isolation instructions. If you don't have a rapid home screening test, please self-isolate for the recommended period. Visit quebec.ca/self-isolating for complete instructions on how to protect yourself and others. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
brother, call a girl a bitch or a hoe. Trying to make a sister feel low, you know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring crap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down the block, I had my cutoff shorts on, right? Cause it was crazy. I walked past these dudes when they passed me. One of them felt my booty, he was nasty. I turned around red, somebody was catching the rat. Then the little one said,
yeah, me bitch.
And laughed. Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes, said,
who you calling me, bitch?
U-N-I-T-Y.
Now we get back to you. I get to dig up in your business. After the school board, did you even take a break? It sounds like you.
No. A month after I was appointed trustee to the English Montreal School Board, the Quebec government, but another ministry, came to me and said, we're putting together a consultative committee on policing reality, because we want a whole study done and consultation, and we want to appoint you to it. It was a 5-member group.
Now, in your earlier life, you were on the police what board?
I was initially a member of the Quebec Police Commission, and then when that was abolished and the whole system of police ethics came into effect, déontologie policière, I was appointed Deputy Commissioner for Police Ethics for the province.
Would you say our history with the police has gotten better?
No.
Okay. All right. Because I wanted to know if you were going through that window over there. But, you know.
No, it hasn't. You know what's gotten better is that we and people of the majority recognize that there's systemic racism in policing, and we're not afraid to talk about it in public.
And why do you think it took George Floyd and Breonna's death to make such an impact? Because it felt as if years ago we had a really good relationship with the police board or whatever their names are. We had relationships with people like the very fabulous John Dalzell.
Yes.
And then there was another gentleman after, I'm seeing his face, I can't remember his name. And then, you know, the whole Dolly House mashup, right? And then as we fast forward, police killings started. And this would have been,
to increase,
95, I would say. Right? I can't remember the year of...
Well, if you think of it, in 1988, we had Anthony Griffith. And then after Anthony Griffith, I think it was 91 or 92, we had Marcellus Francois. And then we had a series.
It was bang.
One every
Fletcher,
year.
It was Presley, Leslie.
Yes.
And then it had stopped, if you will. until we fast forward to recent times and the Latin American Freddy Nuevo, I believe his name is. You know, give us a bit of that and your ruminations.
Well, I think that when John Dalzell, well, first of all, you had a core. You had three assistant chiefs of police, one francophone, that was Jacques Duchesneau, and two anglophones, John Dalzell and John Kuzik.
Yes, okay.
That was the other the other guy. And these were three senior police officers who got that there was a real disconnect between how policing was being done in Montreal and what the needs of the community were, not just our community. And they began to make some serious changes. All three of them applied for the position of chief of police because Roland Bourget, who was the chief of police and was a good guy too, he was retiring. And it was Jacques Duchesneau who was hired. Dalzell stayed around for a while. Kuzik, shortly afterwards, got hired as chief of police in the city of Windsor. Excuse me. And then Dalzell ultimately left and he went to the CN police to head it up, their police. But long story short, there were really good things that were happening. They were starting to reach out to community organizations of the different ethnic and racialized communities and getting officers on the ground to get involved and to better understand the communities they were policing. However, when 2000 came around, the Quebec government completely rehauled the Police Act and centralized so much and then began coming out with the street gang squads.
And those days,
they bought into the American experience.
And those were the days from a historical perspective. If you don't remember, if you were French, you were the Haitian gang.
Yes.
And if you were English, the Jamaican posse gangs. You guys remember that? There's people going, oh, you remember all that crap?
Yeah. And the policing attitude that you had in the United States was, we're going to go clean up the streets. So we're going to start ticketing and identifying. And that's where you had the stop and frisk
in the U.S.
And, unfortunately, it was immigrated or imported into Canada.
Whereas you had
Toronto, Montreal. Carding. That's right.
And I'm not even sure if it was carding per se, but I do remember, like, my brother was a young man at the time. And, yeah, you could be in a taxi coming home, and they'd stop the taxi and ask you your name.
Because there was a black passenger.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and all this madness.
And for ID.
Yeah.
And so they imported all of those police techniques that were used in the United States and really wreaked havoc on black communities, and especially our young black men in the United States. They imported it into Canada. And that's when the polarization began.
Mm.
And our communities and our young people no longer saw the police as neutral at best, at worst, rather, or as pro-community at best.
You're right. I'm remembering there were some, you know, there were still quite a number of police officers that were human.
Yes.
Because, and I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago with Andy Seberan, that come carnival time, that's why there were friendly, wonderful police on the streets, and we were cool. Everybody partied in the streets, and then all of a sudden, it stopped.
Completely changed.
Okay, let's head over, and before we, I'm not going to forget Storm, because we do have a very special person having a birthday soon, but I don't want to miss out and not have enough time for Bill 96. What do black people who remember that if you were skilled enough, you could get a job and rise in various institutions, yeah. as well as, yes, there are people, because we did the educating of our children. I went to immersion school, and, yeah. and you know, you explained earlier that many people just put their children in French schools, and now we have things like Bill 96. And before we do, you answer that question, you now have a new hat again. Who are you now?
I'm now the president of the Quebec Community Groups Network called QCGN. And we're the ones who are on the front lines fighting against Bill 96, which, wait a minute, suspends our fundamental rights and freedoms guaranteed under the Quebec Charter of Freedom and Liberties and Freedoms of the Individual, the Person, and the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Hello, the Emergency Act, the National Emergency Act that Trudeau just invoked, does not suspend our charter rights, but Bill 96 does. And that means that they're giving extra powers to the language inspectors. They can come into any place of business based on an anonymous complaint and search and seize any documents, any electronic equipment, any place of business.
Oh, okay, hold on. You see, you're going to make me take off my head.
You're getting a headache.
Rewind.
Okay. All right. Let's touch for a second the structure of the QCGN.
Yes.
Because historically, it has been said the Anglophone community just rolled over and did nothing post Bill 101, which is not true because many of us were part of Alliance Quebec.
Yes.
Now with the QCGN, what's going on, and how do we fight back? Because I want listeners to understand their role, and perhaps the QCGN is the place for you to come and stand up. Many of we never lie down and roll over.
Never. And we're not going to start now. QCGN has been in existence now for just around 20 years. Okay, and when it first started, it's almost like a coalition. You have community organizations that are members or associate members. And QCGN develops policies based on actual research and evidence, whether it's health and social services, education, employment, you name it. And then we provide that to community organizations that actually provide services, okay? It wasn't really an advocacy group, but because these language laws have reared their ugly heads, QCGN has morphed into also an advocacy organization. And that's why I've been front and center on this whole language issue. So let me give you just a real example.
Really hot up my head now and tell me what we can do.
Well, what you can do is we've got petitions to, no to the notwithstanding clause, which suspends our fundamental rights and freedoms guaranteed under the two charters. We have form letters that you can write to your MNA, your member of the National Assembly, and to Premier Legault, and to the Minister of Justice for Quebec, Simon Jolin-Barrette.
Madman.
Yeah. We've got a whole series of different activities, acts that you can do, and you go to qcgn.ca. And on our website, you'll find everything that you can do as an individual. We're also in a renewal process to change our governance structure because right now, individuals cannot join QCGN.
Ah, okay.
And so it'll have to be approved by the membership, but if the new bylaws get approved, individuals will be able to join QCGN.
Now, in the old days, people always felt that because of Carnival and when they saw how many black people they were, that that was a real wake-up call for governments at large to say, whoa, Nelly.
Yeah.
What is your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that when we have these large gatherings that draw not just our people, but if, you know, whether it's Carnival here in Montreal or Carnival in Toronto, for instance, you literally have hundreds of thousands of people who come out. It's become a major financial contribution to the cities.
And then we get to say, we impact and contribute, and
yes,
by our art and our music,
yes,
and our events. So
we're
contributing.
We're contributing to the economy of Quebec, of Montreal.
And therefore,
they need to be listening to us.
And we demand X, Y,
and Z.
Beyond, you know, the language inspectors getting more powers, what are the other things that Anglophone Black people need to pay attention to that perhaps it's buried in English press, but what are your fears? Because let's talk straight. You're not going to come here and tell us shit, right?
No, I'm
when
not.
You have, if you're scared and you tell us to be scared.
I'm telling you to be scared.
There's enough of us who have had years of relationship.
Let me give you an example. The way Bill 96 is going to restructure Bill 101, the Charter of the French Language, mm-hmm, it is going to become so difficult for members of our community to get their health, basic fundamental health and social services in English.
So you go to Jewish General Hospital.
You go to Jewish General Hospital, and right now, you can go, even if you were educated in French, you know, your parents came from Jamaica or
mm-hmm
from Ghana in 2000, and you were a little kid or you were born here, under Bill 101, you automatically have to go to French school.
Mm.
So you speak French fluently, but let's face it, your common language at home is English,
mm-hmm,
and that's what you're going to be talking to with your friends and family. You go to the Jewish, if Bill 96 goes through the way it is now, you could be refused your services in English.
But let me ask you something that I've always marveled at. We have, you know, they had that whole conversation about historical
Anglos
community and all that crap. But we do have institutions like the Jewish General Hospital at
St.
Mary's.
But you have to understand. You have to understand. The Jewish, St. Mary's, Royal Vic, Montreal General, used to be the Ready Hospital,
mm-hmm,
Queen Elizabeth Hospital. These are all institutions that were built with the blood, sweat, and money of the English-speaking community. But with the reform going to Medicare and the reform of the systems here in Quebec, mm, in the 60s and 70s, they became governmental institutions.
Mm.
So their budgets come from the government. They have to follow the government's regulations,
mm,
and directives. They are no longer, we no longer control those institutions.
Yeah, because they also have the new health boards where they,
that's right,
jimmied up and have people who may have been architects are now in charge of all of the CLSCs or some crap like that. It's not necessarily people who were in the health sector who sit on those boards.
I sit on the board of the board of directors of the CIUS Centre Sud.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the CIUS Centre Sud, you know, it's overwhelmingly Francophone, and it's a Francophone institution. So they have, you know, Verdun Hospital, they have Notre Dame Hospital, and then a whole bunch of CHS, SLDs,
mm-hmm,
rehab centers. It's all French, okay? But they know that they also provide services to their English-speaking people on their territory, and therefore have made a real effort to ensure that the services are available in English when someone wants them. With Bill 96, if they want to open a position or fill a position saying that you need to be able to speak English because the overwhelming clientele you're going to be dealing with are English, they're going to have to go through hoops in order to justify. And Bill 96 actually says the employer has to do everything they can not to provide the service in English. It actually says that, black on white.
Okay. Sonia Pasquiatinou, former CKUT programmer,
yes,
Peter Lightburn, Angela Forbes, our Dawn Ignorance, have a birthday today. Coming up in the week, Joe the Real Plumber is going to have a birthday. Let us sing the happy birthday and put on, you know, a reggae song thereafter. Come over here. You have to come. Oh, you're going to go on the set? Okay, so get up over here. Joe, over this way. Here, hold on. Step around. Don't come here. Come mash up her expensive cell phone. She's a former
That's
MP,
so old.
You know? So she have these new phones that regular civilians don't have.
Yeah, the iPhone 6.
Yeah.
That's so obsolete.
I have the same phone.
Well, yeah, okay.
Shame.
Well,
you ain't be ashamed,
I can't badmouth it then.
Yeah, you better not. Before I have, before
well, let me just say, the iPhone 6 is such an old model that when I looked at the possibility of upgrading it, no one will give me a penny for it.
You want a slap. One slap you want. Let's sing happy birthday for these people.
Okay.
And then we're going to play a real anthem. All right? To let some of that soak in. Oh, I need a Tylenol. The party last night was too good.
Yeah, and I didn't get invited.
It was 10 people, okay? Next time when they say we're alone.
I'm remembering that.
They said, yeah, we're going to see. They might let us have 15 people, and then you could be person number 11.
Okay.
So for all the birthday people, and we love you, happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear everyone. Happy birthday to you.
Sure. I bet you, Uncle
hip,
Joe.
Hip, hooray.
You know, feels extra loved, right? Okay, very, very, very good. Angel, are you almost ready? Because we have a song that I think we need to play. And listeners, really, you know, go and get the pen and papers. This is boom boom time. You know you have to have a pen and paper beside you because it's really important.
And this is not Western rhythm.
But go wrong.
No, it's true.
They have to have a pen and paper beside them because they're going to get information to help make the world a better place. All right, Angel, give us the tune. This is coming from Marlene Jennings, and we'll talk about this choice.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours unhurt. And now when you see the light, you stand up for your rights. Yeah. Get up, stand up, jab, jab. Stand up for your rights.
What are the chances of this bill 92 going through?
96. Yes.
96.
It's going to go through because the CAQ government, Legault government, has a majority of seats.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if every single opposition party, MNA, voted against it. It will go through.
Okay, I hate to do this to you, but your friend, who right now not too popular because of invoking the Emergency Act and its history repeating itself for
it's
some
not.
People, you know, we'll have you back. You might have to come next week again so we could talk with you, because we'd even touch Ottawa.
Next Sunday, I'm hanging with my best friend. We've been friends, Peggy Green. We've been friends since we were 11 years old.
Well, we are going
so
to have to have
together,
you on the phone.
We have our Harvey's run.
We were going to get you on the phone, right? Because I'm not having it. Like, I think she's coming back often. You have...
I'll come back. You cook for me, I'll come back.
Listen, you have a chair at Boom Boom Time.
Okay.
Because it's a direct pipeline.
Okay.
To the community, not only Black community, because and we have listeners around the world.
Okay.
And you see, we have this thing called Facebook Live.
Yes.
And I want everybody to forward these lives, because we need to get the word out there about Bill 96, right? This is activism at its best, and we have a history of activism.
Yes,
your
we do.
Your friend Trudeau, your party, I don't know if you're still card-carrying.
No.
What the hell are they doing, and what should they be doing? Are you even allowed to
are
say?
You talking about what?
With respect to Bill 96.
Language. Oh, well, the Liberal government... excuse me, under the previous Minister for Official Languages and Canadian Heritage, who was Melanie Joly, brought out modernization of the Federal Official
mm-hmm.
Languages Act. However, we weren't, there was stuff in there that we were pleased with, but there was stuff that we were not pleased with. For instance, Canada, modern Canada, constitutional Canada, has been built on two official languages equal to each other, and therefore what we call symmetry
mm-hmm.
across Canada. Bill C-32, which is what Melanie Joly, the Justin Trudeau's government, had tabled, would create asymmetry. That then meant that in their own legislation, they were creating completely new rights for workers, language rights for workers in the federal sector, not just federal government, but like, you know, the telecom institutions
mm-hmm.
that are federally regulated. but only for Francophones. So Francophones outside of Quebec, where numbers warranted, could demand and have the right to have a French working environment, to have, you know, any communications be done in French. But inside Quebec, under Bill C-32, English speakers would not have the same right. So can you imagine you're working in a bank in Montreal or anywhere in Quebec, and the Francophone employees could demand that they be spoken to in French by their bosses,
but not the
English speaking.
Okay, don't bother me, Marley. Marley, you're making me take Tylenol. And if you're outside of Quebec, the Francophone person...
Toronto, yeah. In Hamilton, in Prince Albert,
Marlene, yeah.
So we've been protesting and agitating, and...
What can Black Quebecers and who are Anglophone do, and where are there any alliances in Quebec Francophone sector? Are there any people who are saying, no, this is not quite right?
Well, there are more and more voices, because under my leadership, QCGN has been reaching out to the private sector, to the economic development sector, to the education sector, and people are starting to realize, for instance, what they've just done with Dawson College.
Yeah, okay. I had that in forefront of my mind.
But they also have little pieces in Bill 96. And what it does is it takes away the right of Francophones to choose where they in what language they're going to study after they finish high school, which has never been the case. And guess what? Because they use the notwithstanding clause and suspend our charter rights, it's not just the charter rights of English-speaking Quebecers, it's the charter rights of every single Quebecer. That means that if a young high school student graduating who's Francophone, who wants to go to Dawson or wants to go to Marianopolis or Champlain College, Regional College or Heritage College or John Abbott, Vanier, and gets refused, they won't be able to go to court. So Francophones are starting to wake up a little bit about this.
How do we mount a fight at the grassroots level? For sure, perhaps when individuals are able to join the QCGN, but at the grassroots level, what can people do?
My suggestion is there's a whole host of actions that can be done. You go to the QCGN.ca website. It has everything there. And one of the things that you can do is call and write your local provincial MNA.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, many of them, even the Francophone ones who are not liberals, who are CAQ members, for instance, they know they have a significant English-speaking population, and sometimes their margin of win is so small they need the English vote. So if they know that English speakers, voters in their ridings, in the eastern townships, around Quebec City, that they could lose because the English either will not go out to vote or will not vote for them, they're starting to get worried. There's not unanimity in the CAQ caucus.
What about Montreal separating? That was an idea that came up and, you know, and become like Rome. And, you know, so some of us were no longer young enough to have sexual fantasies. So we fantasize about Montreal separating.
It's not going to happen. Okay. We're in a parliamentary democracy. Mm-hmm. We have a constitution. We're a confederation. Mm-hmm. The confederation is based on provinces and territorial governments. Even city government they're not in our constitution. They're made by the provincial governments. So the provincial government can do like they did back in the late 60s, decide, oh, there are too many cities in Quebec. We're going to forcibly merge them. And that's how I was born and raised in Ville-Jacques-Cartier on the South Shore. That's how all of a sudden Ville-Jacques-Cartier disappeared and became part of the city of Longueuil. And then if you remember the forced mergers here in Quebec, the second phase.
Yeah.
Okay. The ones that Jean Charest, I believe it was, had promised that, you know, if the Liberals got reelected after the PQ in the late 90s, that he would allow cities that wanted to demerge. Well, you know, I watched that whole process and I was kind of like laughing up my sleeve because said my city disappeared in the late 60s and we didn't have a say about it.
Listen, I'm so glad that you were here today. And we're going to drink tea in the next hour or so. QCGN.ca. QCGN.ca. Young people listening, right? You need, you know, we need to find ways. It's COVID. The world is going to open up. It's spring. What are some key dates that we need to watch for?
Right now, the Bill 96 is in front of the commission, the National Assembly Commission on Culture and Education. And so they're doing the clause-by-clause study. And there are over 200 clauses. And they're only at clause 56. So there's a chance that it might not get voted on and adopted before the National Assembly rises in the summer.
Okay.
But we need to keep a close watch. And we have a blog. If you go to the qcgn.ca, you'll be able to find the how to link into the blog. And we have someone, not always the same person, following every single session of that study, clause by clause study, and then doing an actual explanation about what's happening.
They break it down for you. This is the first guest in a long time that comes here. When they're done with me, I had to take a Tylenol. I still love you.
I still love you too.
And, you know, I blocked out a lot of things with COVID and, you know, my own personal life challenges that are going on. And it's very easy to do that, but we can't afford it. Particularly since we helped to build this place.
We helped to build Quebec. Right. We were there from the beginning.
Okay. Let's play some music and then... Oh, we have no more time for music?
Yeah, we have time for one more song and we have to close
up. And then we have to say goodbye.
Yes, 53 in the afternoon right now, so...
You have something, I don't know, that will inspire people that we have a lot of work to do and we have a lot of work to do. Okay, we have a lot of work to do.
No, you can play Bob Marley again. Get up, stand up. No, stand up for your rights. No, get up, stand up.
I just play.
Okay.
You have a tune, I'm Frightened.
No,
okay.
It's an easy tune.
Wow, the world has certainly changed. And they're probably like little rats in the dark. Right? COVID.
You just see their beady little
eyes. COVID. Is going on, and so they're doing a little nastiness, chewing up in between your malls and messing with us.
Yep.
That's what it is.
That's exactly.
You guys.
Great image.
Yeah, well, you want me at the QCGN? I could cuss up people, you know, that you can't.
Thank you.
5. Come in, close the door. Well, that's it. We're out of time. What an amazing time it's been. I hope in your purse, and I'll rifle you, got some Tylenol, right?
No, because I don't get headaches. I give them.
Okay, I need to hang out with you. I need to get back to that.
Yes.
Yeah, Sister P got to step up and get back to that. You see this chair?
Yes.
You see this station?
Yes.
This show? You have a chair here at anytime, and anybody that I need to interview, they don't even have to be black, but they understand things that can help the black Anglophone community. Yes. Say, go and talk to my sister. They can come here.
Okay.
And with that, we have to say, make sure your actions are not the actions to cause another person.
Pain.
What's that word?
Pain.
Okay. The other thing I want to know is, and that's a next time too, Storm Special Needs is unable to speak French. Where does she fall through the cracks?
Completely.
All right, another visit is required. Here, Angel. Angel, you take that.
Yes. Well, I must talk about the panorama, you guys, who Pan Fanatics Panorama is actually going on Saturday from 5. So it's something to look forward to because it's a new trend now. The big bands and the medium bands going to be playing any Panorama final favorites of their own and a bum tune. So, listen, Pan by Storm. I know Funk Club beaten Pan by Storm. I don't even know where All Stars play, all right, or Despers, but pay for view, you guys check out your pay per view. Yes, pay up your subscription, go and thing. And yesterday was beautiful. Yesterday the panorama was beautiful, sell out house, and people really, really came out and support. Because also a new trend, each band had was to play 5 tune, 5 calypso medley. For the small bands and the single band. You see, I start off with Defense Force. So you know Defense Force play 15 songs. Anyway, man, sure. Make sure you actually know the action to cause another person pain. We are here, we are the time. Tune in Saturday.
Thank you. You guys need to go and check out my new album. I don't know when that's going to be.
Alrighty, your album. And I have to say big up to Jonathan from Bajan Radio 24/6. Peter Dillon, you is the best DJ in Montreal. I don't care who want Bex. And I have to big up DJ Thomas for an amazing basement party with 10 people last night. 10 people in the basement. History.
Namaskar, Sat Sri Akal and Adab. You are listening Desi Beats on CKUT 90.3 FM station Montreal, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. with your host Jatinder Singh Bhandari at 514-594-6646. जी हाँ प्यारे दोस्तों भाइयों बहनों, आज संडे फरवरी 20th 2022 है और आज का जो प्रोग्राम है डेसी बीट्स का सीकेयूटी 90.3 एफएम स्टेशन मॉन्ट्रियल पर,